And now, O Lord, may my lips and you take my lips and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. In your Son's name, amen. Our theme today is entitled Pressing On Toward the Goal. The fact that I was raised in California doesn't mean I know anything about grapes, so therefore I'm going to skip the vineyard side of this. But we're going to take a look this morning at Philippians chapter 3 that was read as the epistle reading this morning. We're going to spend some time taking a look at some of the familiar words that Paul, the apostle inspired by God, wrote. And I will be referring to some of those passages later on in the message. Well, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I've always admired and have been amazed by Olympic athletes. Most of the Olympians, as you well know, are everyday people like you and I. Many of them have regular jobs. Many have families that they have to support. A number of them, we know, are college students, and therefore they are pursuing their college degrees. And yet each of them is focused, and they are focused on reaching a higher goal. And for them, of course, that goal is to make it to the Olympic Games. Many of them invest a lot of years in the training that goes into those Olympics, just for the opportunity many times to be in a 10-second race. I know when my boys were in high school and they chose to run track, I wasn't real excited about that because you go down and sit in the springtime in 30-degree weather for an event and they'd run for 5 seconds or jump over a bar and it was done and you'd been there for 4 or 5 hours. So there's a lot of time and effort put into that for a very short period of time to demonstrate their skills. But we also know there are a lot of people in this world that have no goals, they have no dreams, they have no plans. They simply live one day at a time, and they take whatever life brings their way. For a lot of them, their greatest goal in life is to be able to get out of bed each morning. And they go and draw their paycheck either once a week or maybe once a month. But I ask you this morning, as Christians, what is your goal in life? What is the one thing that you have that drives you, that motivates you? What's the one thing that you are most passionate about? I don't know how many of you realize, but God does have a plan for your life and mine, and today we're going to take a look at what that plan is all about. And it comes to us in that Philippians chapter 3 reading. And we're going to consider three questions today about what is God's goal for your life and for mine. And here's the first question. What is God's main goal for your life? In Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 11, we hear these words. And I'm reading today from the New International Version, so it'll be slightly different than what you have in your bulletins. But whatever you was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. Now we know for a fact that Paul did write many of the New Testament books, but writing those New Testament books was not Paul's main goal. Paul preached the gospel, but preaching the gospel was also not his main goal in life. And he established churches throughout the world at that time. But establishing those churches still was not his main goal in life. I don't know if you picked it up in the reading, but it was towards the end. What was Paul's main goal in life? It was to know Jesus Christ. In verse 7, he says, "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ." I want you to imagine now Paul sitting down with a ledger in front of him. And Mr. Hoover, you might be familiar with this. You know what a ledger is. In that, on one side of the ledger, he would put the profits. What profits him? On the other side, what are his losses? And I think on the profit side, Paul would write these words. And I have five things. To know Christ better. To know the power of his resurrection. To know the fellowship of sharing in Christ's sufferings, to become like Christ in his death, and finally, to attain the resurrection from the dead. And then on the other side of the ledger, it's called the loss ledger. And I think Paul would write simply two words. Everything else is a loss. But those five things are what's important for him. For the goal to know Jesus Christ was Paul's greatest passion and his desire in life. And it was the goal that drove him and it motivated him in everything that he did. And I'm here to tell you this morning that is God's main goal for us who have gathered here, for your life and for mine, to know Jesus Christ. And that, my dear friends, should take place. It should take place of everything else in our lives that we set out to do. To know Christ is far greater than any personal goal that we might have or any career goals that we have. To know Jesus Christ is by far the most noble thing that we could possibly do, that anyone could have in his life. And as I said earlier, every day as we get out of bed, our main goal ought to be to know Jesus Christ better today than we did yesterday. Here's our second question. How do I measure where I am in reaching that goal? Well, one of the main things to measure the goal, of course, is to be able to measure progress. If you're a salesperson, you want the goal to be Salesman of the Year, well, what do? You measure against last year's sales and see if you're improving in those for this new year. For the Olympic runner, it might be the goal, of course, of getting the gold medal, but how does he measure that goal, or she? Perhaps they take a look at the stopwatch and see if their times are better than the previous year. So how do we measure how we're doing in attaining the goal of knowing Christ Jesus? Well, Paul tells us once again in our epistle reading from verse 12, "Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." So what do those words mean? Not that I have already obtained this. And what is the this that Paul is referring to? It refers to those things that Paul had mentioned previously in the verses 10 and 11. I want to fully know Christ and experience the complete power and the freedom and the joy that comes from living in the light of his resurrection. I want to have the same attitude that Christ has whenever I face trials and experience the same peace that Jesus Christ also experienced, even in his times of great suffering. And then I want to be able to live in the victory that now has been won for us and has already been won because of the resurrected Christ from the dead to be on this side of the grave. But Paul goes on to say, and it's true for us too, we have not obtained all these things. We are not there yet. Will you and I reach the full measure of what being like Christ is like in our lives here on earth? And my answer for you is no, that's not going to be obtainable. We will be striving for it, but it will only be fully completed to know Christ when we finally are there with him in all eternity and in the presence of our Lord Jesus. But that shouldn't stop us and prevent us from pressing on, as Paul said. He presses on towards that goal. We too must keep pressing on until that final goal is obtained. Well, how do we measure just where we are then in obtaining that goal? How do we determine how much we've grown spiritually? Again, we're reminded from a reading from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in our knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, how do we determine what we're doing? You and I need to measure two areas. One is our input, and the other is our output. As far as the input is concerned, we need to ask ourselves, how much time do I spend in the Word of God? How much time do I spend in prayer? Pastor is going to give us that opportunity again on Wednesdays to continue in that particular area. How much time do I spend in fellowship with other Christians? And then there's the output. How much spiritual fruit am I bearing? Does my life show the fruit of love, the fruit of joy, the fruit of patience and peace, the fruit of kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness, and especially self-control? You know, like Paul, I know that I've not already obtained all this. But I don't know, how about you? Have you obtained all these things? That's why we need and we must continue to press on in our Christian faith, because we haven't reached that goal yet. And then there's the third question. What must I do to reach the goal? Any goal worth pursuing, of course, involves sacrifice, commitment, determination, and, of course, dedication. And that is especially true when we're trying to reach the goal of Christ-likeness. And then we hear in verses 13 and 14, we see there are keys to reaching that goal. Key number one is to be focused. And Paul writes, "Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do." Paul was a man with a single focus, a single aim, a single purpose in life. And that purpose was to know Jesus Christ. The problem may be with us that we haven't given our complete and undivided attention to our Lord. Maybe we are spending more time and attention focused on the things of this world. And when that happens, it hinders our spiritual progress. Be focused. Number two, be forgetful. "Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead." Now, as most of you know, being forgetful in our life is a bad thing, isn't it? Mr. Geisert, my turn to pick on you this morning. Have you ever been talking to someone and then you can't remember the name of that person that you're talking to? I've had that happen to me many times. That's why the name tags are really important. And I know this has happened to Ken Claver. You've walked into a room, and then you look around and you wonder, why am I in here? That kind of forgetfulness is embarrassing to each and every one of us. But Paul said to be forgetful. That kind of forgetfulness is what he's talking about, and it is a good thing. He wants us to think and forget about, or actually forget about, the things in the past. And if you think about the Apostle Paul, he had some bad things in his past that he had to change and forget about. He had given approval to have Stephen stoned. He was known in the days before his name was changed from Saul to Paul as one who was a chief persecutor of the Christians. In fact, he did everything he could to destroy the church. And then he realizes, I think, in this passage that he could not change the past. So he had to forget it. And he had to move on. And then there's always Satan. Satan is always around. He's known as the accuser, and he knows if he can get us to remember our past sins and our failures, then he can slow our progress in knowing Christ. He can rob us of our joy and steal our victory. And so we are gathered here today, and we're gathered here to remember God's promise that he has forgiven and that he has forgotten our sins. And in a few minutes, we'll be celebrating that in the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the final key is to be faithful. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Again, we hear from Paul. He was willing and he was able and he was determined to press on to reach the goal until he obtained it. No turning back, no regrets. Faithful to the very end. Now, many of you probably know and have met people that have joined churches and become part of the church membership, and they're on the books, and they're filled with names of people who started the race, but they didn't finish it. They may have made a great confession of faith at the time of their baptism, but soon their commitment began to fade and their spiritual flame dies out. It's my hope and it is my prayer this morning that may you and I faithfully and relentlessly pursue that prize which God has called for us heavenward in Christ Jesus. For God did not call us just to begin the race, but he actually called us to finish it. And it is that hope and desire and prayer that I pray for each one of you this day in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. And now, Lord Jesus Christ, fill us with your Holy Spirit that we may be less of what we used to be and that we may become more of what you want us to be. In your Son's precious name, Father, we ask it. Amen.